welcome to another episode of Pastor Pod. This is a podcast where Pastor Russ and I, Jordan, answer your questions about life, theology, and faith. In this episode, we give our insights into when the New Testament, the Gospels were written, and also a question about suffering. Please enjoy. How many years passed after the resurrection before the writings of the New Testament? And if I remember correctly, they were staggered. I think one of the first ones was maybe 20 to 30 years after. Is that right? And then the last one was like almost 100 years after.
Yeah, so it's a big debate, and scholars disagree on this one. So I think the earliest writings we have are the letters, not the Gospels. It's Paul writing to the Galatians and later on to the Corinthians and then on. And so those are the first writings. It doesn't mean that nobody ever wrote anything down, but primarily it was done with the oral tradition. These were the stories. As the Gospels are being written, and it's just, we just don't have any written copies of it any earlier. It would be 30, 40 years at least. I tend to think most of the Gospels actually got written after 60 AD and the fall of Jerusalem, because that was such a cataclysmic event, and people are trying to make sense and get some of this down because the normal structures weren't there. So right around in that area. But that would be 30 years, 40 years. But it doesn't mean that there wasn't fragments written down or pieces written down, because they would be, obviously, they're quoting from somewhere. Mm-hmm. There's sources somewhere that they are pulling from. And so whether it was in a full written form like we have it, probably not. But there were definitely places, common places and sources from which those Gospels were pulling, because the stories are so similar, sometimes word for word. And they, even as each one has its own personality. So there was something going around. We just don't have any documentation of it, other than when Paul was writing. It's understood that was in the early 50s.
Yeah. Yeah, and it, I mean, a lot of it too passed down through oral tradition,
right.
You know, just telling the stories. And so, and it took a long, and like the Bible we read it today was put together even further along after that. And now it's been translated so many times too. It's why sometimes the original Greek and Hebrew are important to understand.
Yeah.
All right. Now, how can innocent children suffer? What will God protect us from? I think this is a hard question because it's been debated since ever.
Yeah.
The debate goes like this. If God is all powerful, then God isn't all good, because God does not use his powers to keep people from suffering.
Right.
And then if God is all good, then God is not all powerful, because he can't do anything about it. So innocent children suffer. I think one of the ways I kind of answered at least the best I can with this is the fact that we suffer, children suffer, when we are living in sin. And what I mean by that is living selfishly, by living only for ourselves in our self progress. And I think sometimes that's when people suffer, is from the actions of that. Now, that doesn't take into account disease or things like that. If it's human inflicted, then that's the route I tend to go, is we tend to bring that stuff on ourselves by our actions and only living for ourselves type of thing. Do you have anything to add?
I'm just sitting here because I understand, you know, I catch the gravity of this question, and I'm aware of even if there was a great answer for this, it doesn't speak to the pain,
mm-hmm,
and the gravity of this particular question. So there is no good answer to this one. Innocent children suffer because everybody suffers, whether they're innocent or not, adults or not. It's suffering is a part of life, and it's not fair, mm-hmm, and there is no fairness. And nor is the scripture, nor is Jewish nor Christian thought that works out of the Old and New Testament ever claim that life is fair. All it claims is that God is good, and God redeems, and God is with us. So in that sense, God protects us from nothing, from no suffering, but God is with us in the midst of it. And because God redeems it, then all suffering is trumped by God. It is superseded. And I think that's what resurrection is about. It's not that there isn't any of us who doesn't have to go through the suffering and the pains that come with life, fair or not. And the promise isn't that if we pray the right way, if we go to the right church, read the Bible the right way, do all the right things, that God is somehow going to intervene. That's just sort of religious magic, as tempting as that is. But the real promise is that God is with us in the midst of it, and that we never are alone, and that God redeems the suffering, and that at the end of the day, God wins, and life wins, so that no matter what, that's Romans 8, nothing can separate you. But there is life, and there is death, and there is pain, and there is suffering, but nothing separates us from the love of God. And therefore, nothing can touch us, even as we're not protected from any of the immediate circumstances. I know that's controversial, and that I don't say that lightly. I mean, it certainly takes more conversation about that. But that's my short answer, I think.
I think the Christ's suffering on the cross and to the cross is a signal to us that God suffers with us. You know, God's protection. I mean, I agree with you, and I think there's still this sense of why would we worship a God if that God can't protect us? You know,
right. And there's plenty of people who sell the snake oil of you do this, and then God will protect you. And I hear language, and it makes me cringe about, you know, this hedge of protection. Where in the world did that word come from? And it's just nonsense. All you have to do is take a look at the suffering of the world, and you go, there are people who pray mightily, and they suffer, and they die. Children, women, men, everybody, good people, bad people. So that can't be the outcome. We worship God not because God is somehow the magic talisman by which we avoid all suffering and pain, but because God is real, and this is what's real in life, and we want to align ourselves with what God is doing in our lives and in this world, and we believe in that, but not as in a superstitious sort of form that we all have to go through as we grow up, until it grows up and goes, that's not why I'm believing in God.
Well, and there's certain people who write about how this suffering actually unites us.
Sure.
That it unites us to each other because we all know what suffering is like, and it unites us to God because God even knows what suffering is like.
Yeah.
It's harder to be united around good feelings sometimes.
And it's hard to be united around a community where we have this idea that if we do the right things, God is going to eliminate or protect us from suffering. Because what we've done immediately, besides cutting ourselves off from reality, is we have cut ourselves off from one another, because in fact we all do suffer. Why don't people of faith, why aren't they more honest about their own suffering? Because if the mindset is, if you believed enough, did the right thing, somehow you wouldn't have to suffer, and I'm suffering, therefore you must have done something wrong. You must not have good enough faith. You must not believe the right thing or the right way. And so now the suffering has a double edge. Not only am I now suffering, but if I admit it, then I am separating myself from the community of faith, because the assumption is now that I have done something or not done something enough to keep myself from it. And so it creates these terrible divisions and this great loneliness and alienation. Rather than, what connects us is our common suffering and God's suffering with us. Boy, wouldn't church be different if that was the assumption, rather than the exception, that there are people who suffer. Because I think we've done such great damage to people when we somehow begin to assume, well, if they had prayed more, or believed differently, done what they were supposed to, or not done what they shouldn't have done, that somehow they wouldn't be suffering. Oh, that's just, we've done such damage to people.
Yeah. I think that's as far as we can take that.
Anything longer, people are going to suffer.
If you've enjoyed Voices of Hope, please rate and review us and share us with your friends. If you have questions for Pastor Pod, please email them to jordan@newhopeprez.org or send us a message on Facebook. And we will see you next time.